Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Not coming in.
No, they're back. Here we
go. Here now. There we go.
That's a little delayed. We're good. We're all good.
Audio's
sorry
back.
About that.
Sorry about that.
You didn't miss anything. Here's what we talked about.
We didn't miss anything.
We talked about how my mic wasn't working. We're doing the old Eugene 2022 version where you and I were sitting next to each other. Talked about your poster behind us. This is Gordon's kitchen counter that we're recording from. We're going to talk about these hundreds. We're also going to talk about Sydney McLaughlin laying down a crazy easy 400. We're going to talk about the Jamaican trials and one Sharika Jackson.
There's a lot going on.
Anything else we missed?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. So shout out to the chat. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Let's keep the chat up because chat's on top of it. By on top of it, I mean they could tell that there was no audio and they said, hey, there's no audio. So, yeah. Day two. Thoughts?
So before we get into the hundreds, obviously that's the headline. What's the one thing that we're not going to talk about the podcast that we need to just get out of our system before we dive into the headlines? Is there like one little thing that you feel like happened that's just on your mind?
Well, Victor Wembanyama of the Spurs debuted in Summer League tonight. And as a big Spurs fan, we watched the first 5 minutes and we had to focus on track.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened. I'm assuming he was great.
All right. That segment did not go as I thought it would go. I thought you'd give me some insight about the track meet as a whole, but let's just get right into it. The women's 100, Sha'Carri Richardson wins with ease. We pretty much saw that happening, especially after watching that first round, but she wins in 10:82, kind of had a rocky start. It was very night and day start from her semifinal versus her final. Her final, not that good of a start, but she's just so much better than everyone else on the USA field that she was able to still pull away with ease. But if she has that type of start at the world championship level, she's not going to win a race like that, especially what we saw what Sharika did. We'll talk about that later. But again, it's not about her putting together an all-time race here. It was just about getting the win, getting to Budapest, and getting to that starting line. And she checked that off her list. That's what she came here with one job. It wasn't a throw down American records or all-time marks. It was just to qualify. And she did it with ease. 10:82 with a, like, she was like in last place almost like through the first 10 meters, it felt like.
She had two really awesome starts.
Yes.
In this meet.
Oh, from prelims and
prelims, semis. They were great. It wasn't her best start in the final, but at no point in this race did I think that she was going to lose.
Yeah.
Not only did I think she was going to qualify, I thought for sure she was going to win because I watched the first two rounds. So, yeah, we can talk about worlds and all that other stuff and what it means later on. But you're right. The mission was simply to qualify, and she did that. She runs 10-8 without her best start. I think that's a good sign. Looked comfortable in that semi. I know it wasn't as fast as the first round, but, you know, you have two rounds to worry about on day two of 100. You hold a little bit more back. Potentially, but all in all, if you look at the three races for Richardson, it went perfectly well. It went what you would want if you're Sha'Carri Richardson.
Yeah, it was clean through all three. You know, win. There was no like, ooh, a little shaky semifinal. What's going to happen in the final? It's obvious. She came in here, got the three wins, and is moving to Budapest. And then behind her, we kind of thought it was going to be an Aaliyah Hobbs Sha'Carri showdown, but Hobbs had a disastrous semifinal, gets dead last in her heat. Not sure. Clearly there was something up because that was not what we've seen all year long for her. She like struggled and she was never able to find her turnover late in the race and fails to make the final. So once Hobbs was taken off that top three list, we're like, hey, there's two spots for the other seven women to get. And Brittany Brown and Tamari Davis get it done. Now, Tamari Davis, we looked at as
she can make it
big, like top three contender. But Brittany Brown in the 100, we know she's done some fun things in the 200. Mm-hmm. She's had a long career so far. For see her get second place in the USA's in the 100, I was very impressed. I thought that was kind of the underrated, didn't see it coming to performance of the day so far.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And you're right. She medaled in Doha. She'd run, you know, she eked this
in the 200.
This equaled her PB. So she'd run fast hundreds before, but to emerge from that group of women was surprising. As of this recording, I haven't heard about Hobbs, so I'm not sure what happened. Just feel terrible for her because she's had such a good season. You talked about how she was the model of consistency all year. And when she didn't make it and when she wasn't running up to the level that she ran all year, you could just see the gap, how big the gap in the semi was between Richardson and everyone else. Now, it was a smaller gap and once we got to the finals, but it became very clear. We always thought it was a two-woman race for this field. And when Richardson advanced and Hobbs did not, came down to a one-woman race and then a wide open 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at that point. Mia Bray Pedersen, the high schooler, makes the final, squeaks in. But there was a lot of
almost made the relay pool. She was seventh.
Yeah, there was a lot of and Jenna Prandini, we should say, scratched out of the 100 semis. So there was a lot of moving parts to this women's 100. Top line, Shikari wins. That's what we expected. But after that, unpredictable.
Yeah. Walks into the stands afterwards, hugs her family. You don't really see that many times in track meets. Like an athlete just being like, I ain't following the rules. I'm going to go and, you know, go wherever I want. And just like goes by the beat of her own drum.
Well, I remember Devin Allen jumped into the stands 2016. That was cool.
Yeah.
And Richardson, of course, did it in the trials for Tokyo.
Okay. Yes. Back too. There are other times when people go into stands. It felt very abnormal, but it was a pretty cool moment seeing her console with her family. The fans were there. It was, the fans actually weren't. There wasn't that many fans there on the back stretch, but we can get into that later in the podcast. But overall, it kind of, she came, she ran, she won.
She moved on. Yep. That's all you can ask for. And now you move on to Budapest, where the competition's going to go up a level. But she took care of business. She did exactly what she needed to do.
But I will say, if she has that final type run at Worlds, that's not a winning formula.
Sure. But I mean, here's the thing, though.
She didn't need to have it.
She didn't need to have it. And two out of the three starts were really good. So if you're just playing the odds,
66% of the time, it works every time.
It's a solid. Yeah. She had a solid series, right? When you total it all up. And if your final is your slowest race and you still win it, that's a good sign. Because it's not like her competitors are guaranteed to have amazing starts every single time or amazing races. Like, she's already beaten Sharika Jackson this year. You know, Tolu's been really good, but she can obviously beat Tolu, Alfred as well. There's a short list of women in the world who can beat her.
Yeah. Any other notes on the 100?
Men's 100, I want
to talk
about.
Let's get right into men's 100.
Yeah, so it appears in the chat. I'm just perusing the chat as we're talking. I'm paying attention to you.
One eye on the chat, one eye on the camera, and one eye on me.
I'm seeing a lot of panicked American men's sprint fans here, or just people commenting on the state of American men's sprinting because of the result of this race. They didn't think it would be this slow. They didn't think it would potentially, you know, it would be this result. So we get Kervant Charleston getting the win. Someone I tabbed a long time ago, and I told Gordon, I said, watch out for Kervant Charleston. This could be a guy.
Yeah, but did you pick him to make the team?
Who did I pick? I'm not. No, I didn't.
Because you know who did?
Did you pick him? You picked him?
Yes.
Yeah. He came late to the party. He had him ranked like 18th 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and he worked his way up all the way to a week out from the meet.
It's a miracle. I picked him to be top 18 to 3. All right, so you have Charleston. It was really close between him and Coleman at the line. Lyles gets up for third, then you have Carnes in fourth, Smith, then Bromell rounds out the top six. But it was just a wild series, wild last couple weeks in the men's 100. Fred Kerley, I think, is a big winner tonight. He's probably sitting there. I said the gap between him and everybody else is pretty big, not just in the U.S., but in the world. But he remains the big favorite. But, man, credit to Kervant Charleston.
Oh, man.
U.S. champion.
Tracksmith athlete.
U.S. champion, Kervant Charleston. That's incredible. Yeah, the times weren't fast, but they don't need to be fast.
If I told you that Noah Lyles would run 10 flat and make the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you'd be like, that's...
Yeah, and it's weird. There wasn't really any wind. We were wandering the wind all day. Yeah. There wasn't a ton of wind. This was plus 0.1 meters per second. But yeah, he had the full race. Otto Bolden was talking about Coleman's the starter, Lyles is the finisher, and Charleston's
the winner.
And Charleston had the complete package. Yeah, he had the whole thing there. That's a big upset. If I had told you 2 years, if I told you last year, Kevont Charleston's going to win the 100 or 2 years, like there was no window of time when you're like, yeah, because the men's 100 has been so good.
We had three medalists from last year. You throw in a Lyles, you throw in Norman, who turns out he was injured, but
yeah.
You throw in all the Bakers, all the college kids. You know, no one was like, oh yeah, Kevont Charleston. Like, he was not on anyone's list.
Mm.
He wasn't on my list, but then he got on my list and then worked his way up. You got mad that he didn't go work his way up faster.
Yeah, he should have been higher, but that's okay.
Now he's at the top. Now he's number two. Now he's number two U.S. 100 meter sprinter going into tomorrow.
Here's the thing though. If you're looking at this at U.S. versus Jamaica, it's not like the Jamaican times tonight were out of this world. And again, in 2 months, I don't think we're going to be comparing national championship times to each other. We're going to be looking at Diamond Leagues.
Well,
we are.
We're not in a time era. We're in a Diamond League
no,
era.
No, you're not going to be in a time at the national championship era, because they're going to run faster than this, and then you're going to move on. So I don't know, man. It's like you can freak out about the times and panic about the times. It just sometimes there's just weird races that are random. I'm abnormally slow. I'm thinking of the men's 400 last year at World Championships that was slow. On the same night that Sydney ran really fast and Shawnee Miller-Weibo ran really fast, the men's quarter was not that quick. I don't think it's crazy surprising. Lyles getting in though, keeping the double alive. I mean, how many people now that he's eliminated all the U.S. competitors except the three guys on the team with him. So he's narrowed the pool of people who can beat him down. Obviously, internationally, though, it's tougher this year than it's been in the past.
And I will say this. I know we're going to be talking about this multiple times going into Worlds and during Worlds, but on the men's, U.S. men's side, the 4x1 seems pretty obvious.
Charleston, Coleman, Lyles, Curley?
And Curley. Like, I don't think there's like a weird, like, oh, this one guy, like, no one's going to pitch for Arian Knighton or Bednarik or Brandon Carnes or JT Smith. You know, you're just going to look at, I guess you could argue potentially Trayvon Bromell, because he comes in here getting sick. So Trayvon Bromell is in the relay pool, but you're going to put Lyles on there. You're going to put Curley. Coleman is going to be on there because it's Coleman. And then Charleston's a U.S. champ. You're not going to be like, U.S. champ, you're our fifth guy.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be pretty obvious that that's going to be the men's 4x1, which would be helpful because if you know the four, they can
practice together. Yeah, practice is important.
Yeah.
We want to see practicing this year.
All right, Charleston now.
Also, props to JT Smith, the only collegiate athlete to make the final. There are a lot of really fast collegians on the start list. He gets it done for Texas A&M Commerce.
Charleston now, where would you rank him in the world?
I like the idea that there's just like rotating number twos. So this is his time at number two.
You think he's number two in the world?
I think we just got...
No, it's Arnell Hughes.
Yes. Yes. Curley one. We'll still give Hughes two because of how fast he ran in New York. But Charleston is in the first five, I'm sure.
First five. So yeah. Fifth.
There's nothing in the history of rankings. There's nothing more meaningless than the men's 100 meter rankings 2 through 20 this year. I'm sorry. It's not. It's just...
We're in the business of making rankings, you're just saying they're meaningless?
I mean, you can have fun with them, and it's interesting.
I'm going to have fun with them.
Well, there's a lot
Sunday night and Monday morning, I'm going to be making hell of a world ranking.
It makes it fun because you don't know who it's going to be, and it's going to be a situation where seven people can claim that they're in the top three or maybe eight or nine, but it's going to be written in pencil, not in pen, because it's just going to change.
All right. So you could go. We'll go in reverse. Let's work backwards in time. Women's 400, Sydney
man
runs another 49 seconds. This is the most 49 seconds she's run now in like a long.
This was a different 49 seconds.
I know it's a different, but what I'm saying is we've been itching for Sydney to run the open four often, right? She didn't do it much in college. She wasn't doing it much in her early pro career. And now we're like, will she do the 400? How many 400s has she run now? She's run Paris,
New York,
and
then two rounds.
And two. Yeah. Four in like a month's period.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get another one in 2 days.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of 400 Sydneys, and we're seeing she's collecting 549s in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
not many women out there are running 5:49s in 5 week period. Yes, they'll have the one off 48 high, or they'll have the 49 early in the season. But Sydney is making her basement 49 mid, which is insane.
This reminded me again of the 4 meter hurdle prelims.
Yeah.
From years past, just a complete jog. And it's crazy to think that, you know, when she ran in Paris, like how hard she had to work. Granted, she went out super fast, or even in New York, how hard she had to work to run those times. This was a 49.6 that tells me there's no doubt she's sub 49 whenever she wants to go hard through the line. It was ridiculously easy. It looked really easy because
she has that sub 49 button she can push whenever she wants.
It's right there.
Where is it located?
It's right there.
Is it like under her, like her left toe?
No, she doesn't even reach that far from it. It's wherever, it's like in her hand
already. She has like, she visualizes it in the corner of her eye.
It just
blinks. She does like a Morse code.
It was one of those where she was, again, shutting it down so early as if to just save every last bit of energy. And then you're just looking at the clock and you're thinking, this is still going to be a really fast time though. And it reminds me of performing hurdle races or watching, you know, Warholm and Dos Santos or Muhammad, you know, like those people when they run those prelim heats when they're just not challenged at all and they can just take their foot off the gas so early. So I think she's under 49 in the final. I think this, and this is, that's going to reset everything for the second half of the women's 4 meter season.
She's the world favorite.
She's the favorite. And listen, I mean, Wilson still has the faster PB. She ran 50.59. I thought it was interesting on the broadcast. Sonia and Otto were getting into a little back and forth about like, hey, was Wilson saving something? Or is she just tired from the long season and obviously the toll that the injuries have taken on her body? We'll find out. I think that she does have another gear and maybe she's just starting to realize, hey, I don't need to go 49 mid in a heat if I don't have to. She still won the heat. So I'm going to give all respect to Wilson. And knowing what I know about how good she is and think that she's got that extra gear. But I think McLaughlin Lavrone just comes in on this different schedule, right? She's been able to control the amount of races she's running. And she just looks right now like she's got 48 seconds in her for sure.
One fun thing. We'll talk more about Sydney versus Britain 2 days from now when they face off against each other. But one tidbit I'd like from this is whoever makes the 400 meter final, you're going to Worlds, right? Because you're top six are in the relay pool. Mm-hmm. Seventh and eighth place are in the mixed gender pool. And Quinira Hayes gets in.
Right on.
Eighth. She doesn't even have the standard.
Nice.
But Quinira Hayes, with her long career, we know she had a wild, she was like on top of the world for a few, not world, but on top of the U.S.
Diamond League champion
for a few years. And coming off of, you know, kind of being not really in the picture, but to come back, get eighth here. Just go in the world. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that mixed relay changes everything. The mixed relay just changes everything in terms of availability.
Speaking of mixed relay, let's go over to the men's 400. Kind of a, obviously with no Michael Norman, healthy Michael Norman, you know, champion Allison didn't run this year. Michael Cherry was a scratch. You kind of look at Vernon Norwood and Bryce Dedman as the kind of consistent guys and a bunch of newcomers with the college kids and Willie, Bailey, McRae, Robinson, but also Bowling. And I know Bowling is going to be in the headline, even though he had the slowest time, but he qualifies. But Matthew Bowling comes into the year, 100-200 guy, wins NCAA Indoor 200, then kind of has like a subpar 200-100 season.
Yeah.
Makes his 400 debut in June. And now he's making the final and putting himself in the mix to be on the relay. And I think that's pretty incredible for Bowling because we see what he does in 4x4s. Now he's doing an open. I don't think Bowling is in the mix to win in 2 days. I think it's going to be between, you know, Hall, Willie, Norwood, and Dedman. But seeing, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 8 finalists are college kids.
Yeah, a little reverse of the men's 100. I just want to know, yeah, does he have it? Because he got to get into the 44s. Can he get into the 44s on such short notice? That's a lot to ask for. Vernon Norwood, it's so cool to see he's just – and now he's the favorite. Like he's transformed into the favorite for so many years. It was – he's right on the fringe, and he's a solid relay guy, and he's getting third. He's getting fourth. He's getting fifth. But he's making all these finals. Now he enters as the favorite. It's just such an interesting position for him to be in. I like Dedman coming in, and obviously I liked Willie – just based on what he did in the NCAA season. But yeah, if they do the same selection procedure that they've done in the past, all of them are going to get in for some form or fashion in a relay. And if you're in the mixed gender 4x4, you got to avenge some losses. The U.S. has been taking some L's the last couple of years. So get out there and get a win.
Go to women's 800. One of my sleeper picks who I thought was going to make the team, Allie Wilson, was the first woman out. But everyone else gets through. Aikens, top time. Mikayla Rose in. Raven Rogers in. Rogers, man, she knows how to time her season. Comes into this year as like kind of a, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not running the sub two performances and now is looking like she's going to make another team.
Well, so it's interesting. Everybody who ran 2.0 made it. 2.01 didn't make it. So you had 8 women all from 2.002 to 2.0085 in this. And listen, could Nia Aikens make it? Absolutely. She's a top qualifier. Mikayla Rose, NCAA champion. Raven Rogers made all the teams in the world. Medal, obviously, Aji Wilson, Sage Hurtado-Clark. Like, there's a lot of different combinations of women who could win, and there's a lot of people who could sneak in to make that third spot. So it really is a case where anybody can get on this team. I went with Rose before. I still like Rose, and I think Rogers and Wilson are ultimately going to get it done. So I'm going to stick with my same top three pick. Rose adds an interesting dynamic just because she goes hard from the front. She just hammers it from the get-go. She went out in 57 today, helped get all the auto qualifiers out of her heat. So she drugged some people into the final with her. But yeah, that one's going to be fun. Very balanced without a thing mowing there.
Men's 800, nothing much really to talk about. I mean, Hopple, Murphy, Harris, they were in the harder heat and they run the 3 fastest times. I think the big story here, though, was a DQ, man. Wes Ferguson, D2 NCAA champion this year, wins the second heat, but gets DQ'd for stepping on the line. Come on, man. Really?
Well, we didn't see the replay.
We didn't see the replay.
They announced it a couple events later. It wasn't obvious enough that they showed an immediate replay, and then we never went back to it. But, yeah, Nebraska, Kearney, they were partying. They were dancing. They were planning a parade, and then DQ, Derek Holdsworth goes in. Brennan Miller didn't make it, but then everybody else, you got the, I guess you could say the big three with Hopple, Murphy, and Harris. But then also I think Jewett has a shot at it. Sumner looked like he was going to be in a bit of trouble and then rallied. Ultimately, you look at the results now, it's like, oh, he was second in the heat. That was no problem. But remember, that was the heat with the DQ in it. So Hopple, Murphy, Harris, I think is a, going to be a lot of people's bet for the final.
All right. I think we're going to just rapid fire some of these early prims. I don't even feel like we don't need to talk about the women's 400 hurdles. Everyone gets through. It's stupid that they run the women's 400 meter hurdles. Yep. They went down from 22 to 16.
We don't need it. Yeah, we don't need
it. The men's 400 meter hurdles went from 24 to 16. Yep. We should not be doing 3 rounds of the 400 hurdles.
And we should not be
talking. It should go from 3 heats to 1 heat. It should be top 2 in every heat, then the next 2 fastest times.
Do you know what we should not do also?
What?
Talk about this, because we do it every single year. We don't need to talk about it anymore.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, let's keep it moving. All right. Decathlon, heptathlon? Talk about that, or you want to keep the running events first?
We'll save the Jamaica for later. Sorry about decathlon. Our boy Kyle Garland, Philly Jean, falls to 4th, gets beat by Austin West, who got 3rd in the men's decathlon. Harrison Williams is going. Zach Zemek is going. Austin West does not have the standard, so maybe Kyle Garland still gets in, who got 4th. In the women's heptathlon,
Anna Hall
gets the win. Not a 7,000-type point performance that she's obviously eyeing, but gets the job done, shows up, and qualifies. I'm not sure who's going to – I mean, Talia Brooks and Cherry Hawkins were 2nd and 3rd, but I'm not sure with the whole
Standard stuff.
Yeah. And then field events. Women's high jump, Fast Jai Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that one before?
Need we say more?
6th in a row.
I was going to say
6.
I was going to say 16th in a row.
This was her Jordan moment. She got her 6.
Good. Good for her. Congrats. Well done for her 191. Riley Anderson 2, Jenna Rogers. No, Anderson and Rogers tied, excuse me, for 2nd. And then men's triple, Scott, Clay, and Bernard. 1, 2, 3. Season's best for those top 2. Let's talk about the Jamaica Charles.
Yeah, so Tom,
you guys, let's ask the chat. Do you guys want to talk about Jamaica? Yeah, yesterday, we had a little mixed result. We didn't quite understand if they wanted us to talk about this.
Tom, I put in the runner show the two Jamaican results, the men's and women's, so you can bring that up when we talk about it in the Google Doc.
Here's what you need to know. Sharika Jackson ran 10.65, and her last 50, I would love to see the split on her last 50. I mean, it's not like her start was bad, but she just separated from everybody in that last 50. That was incredible. So she grabs the world lead back from Richardson. And your thought immediately goes to the 200.
Hold on, Tom. The results are in the Google Doc. So you can check it. Pull up there. I put the URL in the Google Doc.
Man, I was doing it. I had a really good thought going there, too.
I start over your thought.
Why don't you let Tom cook?
Well, I'm telling Tom, just go to the Google Doc. I put the run of show.
Let the producer produce, and then let you talk about.
He doesn't have the Google Doc; it's not saved, so that's why you can't find it. And we can't hear him because we don't have the audio. Yeah. So maybe I should just text.
Why don't we not even worry about it and just we don't? She ran 10.65. Everybody knows she ran 10.65. It's not like an incredibly revealing piece of written graphic that we need to show, right? It's 10.65.
10.6. Yeah, it was 10.65. Cool. Okay, let's talk about it. So Sharika Jackson, 10.65.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Hey, you're the one who decided to have your computer not work.
Here's the thing.
We had no audio in the podcast for the first 2 minutes.
My mic still doesn't work, so I'm just going to go like this and pretend that it works. How about that? All right, let me start over. Sharika Jackson, the 10.65 was impressive. But with Sharika Jackson, it's not just about the 100 with her. It's about the 200. So people are rightfully pointing out, well, what does this mean for the 200? If she can run 10.65 right now in the 100 with the last 50 looking that fast, what can she do in a 200? I'm excited to find out. She obviously has a very high bar because you talk about PRing when you're Sharika Jackson. You're already sitting at number two all time. But this was the big result. We always see at least one big result coming out of Jamaica and their championships. And this was the big result.
I do agree with you. Seeing what we look at as her primary event being the 200, run a 10.65. That means our 200 is going to be insane in a month from now.
Yes. And a month. Well, I guess she doesn't need to run it at Jamaica Transfer.
Because you see that. I remember watching a lot of times when you watch like primarily 200 guys and women, and then they have like big 100 meter PBs or big 100 meter season's best, you know it's going to lead to a big pop in the 200. And 10.65, you convert that to her 200 meter ability, she's gonna be flirting with her own PB. She's gonna be flirting with that world record, I think.
No, it's not a stretch. It's not a stretch at all. Like judging by how close she was when she ran it last year, now she's down to 10.65. I want to also mention so Sasha Lee Forbes second, 10.96. Morrison third. Brenna Williams fourth. Elaine Thompson-Raw fifth, 11.06. So she's going to have to, assuming they keep the normal qualification procedures, going to have to get through in the 200.
All right. Elaine Thompson, hurrah. You think she's going to be making the 200 team? Or are we going to see no Elaine Thompson, hurrah at Worlds?
It's a possibility. It's a possibility.
I think it's a very strong possibility.
Yeah. I mean, now they get to send four there. So do you take Jackson out? Fraser Price. Last I heard, she was going to run the two. Someone might have updated information on that one. But if Fraser Price runs it, we don't know what type of form she is. It would be interesting if she makes it in just the two. I don't know. TBD. I mean, this wasn't a disaster, 11.06. It's not like she was non-competitive. She was right there. So right there with the rest of the field. No one was with Sharika Jackson. Let's be clear. Nobody's with Sharika Jackson, but she's not too far back from qualifying spot. So,
all right. What team do you like now? If assuming that
she's jumping for a 4x1, or you talking about just the open one?
Just overall, like if you score it out, we don't know what Shelly Ann is yet, right? Because she's been we don't know her. Shelly Ann clearly is not going to be in 2022 form, I don't think. I think she's going to be a little bit.
Well, if you ask me about the 100, it's Jamaica gets four.
Yeah, Jamaica's get four.
Jamaica's the pick.
Well, not okay. Yeah. Assuming take out the fourth Jamaican,
which No, I'm not going to take out the fourth Jamaican. Why would I take out the fourth Jamaican? You're asking me which team is better.
Well, that's unfair because it's 4-on-3. So no matter what, you can always pick the team that has four. I'm just talking about if you had to have three people from the same country, would you want an unknown Shelly Ann plus Sharika Jackson and Forbes or the U.S. top three?
Right now, I'd probably go.
With the best shot of.
I'd probably go Jamaica still because if Fraser Price is in August anywhere near where she was before, then yeah. And then look at what Jackson's doing. Look, I mean, you get the world leader and then you get the greatest of all time on your team. I'll go with that. That's not a controversial pick.
So where would we rank Jackson, Talu, Alfred, and Sha'Carri right now? What would be your order?
Jackson, Talu, Alfred.
And Sha'Carri.
And Sha'Carri. Jackson, Talu, Alfred, Sha'Carri. I would go. I mean, I had.
Who's four?
I had
number four.
I had Talu one before, but it's unfortunate because she's not running. You know, I'll go Alfred four. I'll go Talu three, Richardson two, and Jackson
one.
Yeah. I'm very influenced by the last result.
You give me a hard time for being heat in the moment. You just see, 10.65 is faster
you think Talu
than 10.7. So
you think Talu should be number one?
Or maybe Sha'Carri.
Yeah.
Who had a better weekend, Jackson or Sha'Carri?
Who had a better weekend? Well, Jackson was already on the team, so Sha'Carri. She had a better weekend.
Yeah. So then she should be one.
No. Better, I'm saying better weekend because of what was expected versus what she did.
Yeah,
it's very close. Alfred is just a wild card because she's on a totally different schedule than everybody else.
If you are a diehard Sha'Carri Richardson fan and you want her to win, or you're a diehard Jamaican fan and you want Sharika Jackson to win, who is more nervous and who is more confident? Or who's more confident?
I think the expectation going into the season was, if you're not just talking about those two, but Jamaica versus U.S., it was Jamaica.
But we're taking
So I think Jamaica would be more nervous now because the gap is closed.
So Jamaica, you hear that? Jamaica, you nervous? Kevin says you're nervous.
Kevin says
you're nervous. Woo.
Trying to start stuff here. You're the one who has, you're not allowed to go there anymore because of your bolt take.
What?
No, I'm just saying.
I can go to Jamaica.
I was joking. They all love you there. I'm saying it because of expectation. Because going into the year, it wasn't a one.
You think she carries on house money right now?
It was a big three going into the year.
Now it's a big one.
It's like 1v1 at this point, and Richardson's been running great.
I like it. I like that. I like that Talu is showing consistency. I like that Alfred had a great season. And I like that Jackson ran 10.65.
Everybody in the chat, no, they're not nervous.
Yeah,
all right, we get it. You're not nervous. I had to pick between the two. You're not nervous. Okay. I get it. You're confident. You're a fan. I guess a lot of fans are.
I mean, I'm nervous. I'm the diehard fan. I'm nervous.
Well, that's different, though.
But Jalen Hurts is going to throw it in.
You're a self-loathing Philadelphia fan. I guess this is a little bit different.
Philly Jean, baby. Yeah. I'm wearing it after you got fourth, too. So it's like.
Yeah.
But, you know,
all I'm saying
fans
is
fans stick together.
Yeah. I don't know how you define nervous is different depending on different fan bases. I'm just saying betting odds starting the year versus now.
Well,
close,
Jamaica has more to lose because let's be honest, if Jamaica loses to Sha'Carri, they got to have their number on her for 3 years. And then it's going to come, you know, it's like, when the Warriors had LeBron's number, then LeBron got to walk around with come back from the 3-1 deficit. So Jamaica better hope that Sha'Carri doesn't win because when it happens, they're going to have to just deal with that for just a year and they'll have a chance to get it back in 2024. But
yeah, and a lot
whereas Sha'Carri, they already lost. So they're like, hey, whatever.
There's another person that we're not talking about here that could heavily influence this conversation. And we haven't seen her run yet.
Shelly Ann, yeah.
If Shelly Ann goes out in the 200 and runs like Shelly Ann, then...
I don't think that's happening.
Well, I don't know. So I want to wait.
I knew.
I will revise my nervousness meter.
Tomorrow
or whenever she runs the 200.
Right, let's talk about the Jamaican
100. We're done. We're good.
The men.
AC says, y'all have some piss poor takes. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks for tuning in. What are we talking about?
The men's, my boy, Akeem Blake, did not make the team.
However, Oblique Seville.
Yeah.
My guy.
The two best Jamaicans on the men's side finished 3 and 4 at the trials.
Some new names coming up, but also just some surprises. I mean, Blake not getting under 10, surprising.
Yeah, so I'm looking at these men's Jamaican results.
Rohan Watson.
Rohan Watson.
Welcome to the show.
991. Raheem Ford, welcome 996. Oblique Seville, 10 flat. Akeem Blake, 1001. And then a drop-off. I mean, there are 4x1 is going to be good. Because you throw in two sub-10 guys with Seville and Blake.
And here's the thing.
That's going to be a good 4x1.
Jamaica, if you're still in the chat, if I said the same question about nervousness on the men's side, it's the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Because the U.S. came in somewhat similar position, although not as dominant as the Jamaican women. That was the U.S. men last year with the sweep. And look how much things have changed. I'm not talking just individually. I'm talking about the 4x1. That 4x1 right there can beat the U.S. 4x1.
1,000%.
Not saying they will, but they can.
I think they should be the favorites.
That four?
Yeah. That four plus USA's
four
of consistently never putting it together.
Sure. Lyles is better in a 4x1 setting than an open one, though. That's what you got to factor in.
Fair enough.
And I think a curly on anchor.
Yeah, and I guess you could argue that Coleman should be better than the Jamaican four and that Curly's better than those Jamaican four. Charleston should be like even with those Jamaican four. So, yeah.
AC says, U.S. men don't need to be nervous. Y'all have everything backwards. No, they should be. They should be, especially in a 4x1. You know why? Because they have to get the stick around. So even if they had five guys tonight run 9.7, they still should be nervous. But they didn't have that. They ran slower than that. Jamaica has the depth. It's not just one person with Jamaica. Jamaica has depth now with that group of four. And I think Seville is a medalist. I know he didn't. He only got third tonight. I'm still sticking with it. Seville's a medalist.
Yeah. What do you think about Blake, man?
He's your guy. You got to figure that out. I don't think he counted on those other two guys being up there.
Yeah.
In these international races, it's Seville, it's Blake, it's Johan Blake. It's not those other two. So got to regroup. That's a tough blow. Because he looked like he was on the come up.
Yeah. So, anything else?
Yeah. Hold on. More comments. Sashane. Yeah, but guys, the Jamaican men are young, and they've never have nothing to lose.
Cryptic wrote Canada. Canada is not doing what they did again. That's a one-time thing. There's no way Canada does.
Well, they need DeGrasse to get to roll. So now it seems like Jamaica's like – under, they're like downplaying how good their men are
and overplaying how good the women
are. But let's just look at this year. Let's not get wrapped up too much in history. That's a solid four. It's a bummer for you and the Akeem Blake fans out there, but having
let's do a draft
Watson and Ford out there.
Let's do a draft of the four Jamaicans and the four Americans,
the men.
Yeah, who would you pick first?
Curly.
Okay, I get to go. I would pick Lyles.
Seville.
I would pick Coleman.
So I have Charleston and who do I have?
You have Charleston or
The rest of the Jamaicans?
Or the rest of Jamaicans, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go Charleston.
And then I get the rest of Jamaicans?
Yeah.
So I get Blake.
You don't get
Blake. I get Watts. We didn't
Oh, we didn't go one for one?
Yeah, we didn't do this right.
Horrible. It's getting late, guys.
It's 11:48 p.m. Yeah, this wasn't that
Blake Seville. Don't sleep on him, is all I'm saying.
Yes. Okay.
It's not over yet.
This podcast is going off the rails.
It's not over yet.
Thanks for tuning in. Did anyone else have anything else to say?
A lot of people have things to say. Most people didn't like the takes. That's okay, though.
That's all right.
It's a day that ends in Y.
I don't like half of my takes.
That's true. Gordon gets done.
I regret him a lot.
Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow. Right after the meet, maybe we'll be on the same computer. Maybe we'll not.
Let it be known, as much as my predictions sometimes are awful, I correctly predicted who would make the men's 100-meter team.
You also predicted a certain world record. You're not allowed to talk about the men's 100 anymore.
I predicted who would make the men's 100-meter team. That means something. I successfully said not Bracey and not Bromel.
Look at you.
It's winner. Tempting to pick those guys.
Winner, winner. All right.
That's it. Like, subscribe. We'll be back 10 p.m. Central tomorrow. So an hour earlier, reacting to all the chaos that happens at USA's and over at Kingston. So thanks for listening. Get some rest, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Peace.